Project Sapient is a podcast meant to engage our brothers and sisters in law enforcement and military communities in conversations that we all know we need to have. All opinions you'll hear are our own, are protected by our First Amendment of the United States Constitution, and in no way reflect or are meant to reflect the opinion of any specific agency, officer, or service member. Some opinions may be controversial. Listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
All right, everyone. Guys, this is Project Sapient. This is Iman. Pete, say hello.
What's up, guys?
This is our midweek roll call. And for the past couple weeks, we've been doing this. We've been getting great feedback, and people are really digging the show, which we truly appreciate. And we'd like to hear more, you know, what you guys want to hear, what you guys want us to talk about. We can't give legal advice. Please don't send us any of that. But if you guys have any questions, suggestions, comments, please, by all means, reach out to us. We actually have a email address up now, projectsapient2020@gmail.com. Again, projectsapient2020@gmail.com. Send us your comments there. We'll try to respond as much as we can. So let's kick it off with this week's roll call. It's about this officer out of the Pueblo Police Department in Colorado. His name is Corporal Richard Jones.
Yes.
Very, very powerful video that we are about to play. And there is commentary in the background. I think, Pete, who have posted it?
So just for full disclosure, it's Rocky Mountain PBS is where we got the video from. We're just going to be posting this for educational purposes for you guys. So do you want me to go ahead and start playing it?
Yeah, just start doing it.
Before we start playing it, it's one of the most powerful videos I've seen. Not being a veteran myself, but being trained in crisis intervention, it really hits home. This guy's awesome. Yeah. This guy's really good. And a big shout out. If anybody knows who this Corporal Richard Jones is, please give him a shout out. We want to talk to him. We'd love to have him on the show too, but we're going to play the video right now just so you guys can get into it. Again, there's commentary. It's not us. So here you go.
We get a call basically of a man with a weapon.
You're a white male, approximately 30 years old, wearing a black hoodie and a military style hat.
They give me a description.
Where was he last seen?
Sitting on the curb just prior to the parking garage.
And they think he has a handgun on him.
As Officer Richard Jones of the Pueblo Police Department walks up.
Hey, put your hands up.
He sees the man turn toward him with gun in hand.
Put the weapon down. Don't move.
Jones has his own gun out and ready.
Put the weapon down! Put the weapon down!
He's not looking at anybody, not doing anything, not saying anything. And he's got a 1,000-yard stare.
Put the weapon down, sir!
As Jones continues to yell, the gunman walks toward him, and Jones sees he's wearing a sweatshirt indicating he's a veteran.
Come on, man! One vet to another!
Jones is not only a CIT officer, he trains others in crisis intervention. And this is how it works in the field.
Dude, don't do it to another vet! Don't do it to me!
Jones immediately uses his training to try to find a hook, some way to connect.
Dude, I'm a retired Army guy. Let me help you. Don't make me do this.
The armed veteran in a mental health crisis says he can get no help.
Then let me help you, but not this way.
No help.
Let me help you.
As Jones pleads with the man, other officers arrive at the scene, weapons drawn. The vet is holding the loaded semi-automatic handgun stiffly at his side, and Corporal Richard Jones is hoping he does not raise it toward the officers.
Please drop it, brother. We've lost too many already. I know you're hurting, man. I was too. But I went about 4 months ago, so let me help you, please.
Despite the pleading, the man keeps asking Jones to shoot him.
Shoot me.
I can't do that, man. I can't do that.
Suddenly, as Jones tries to move the conversation to appeal to the man's religious faith, the man puts his hands together on the gun as if he's going to raise it to fire.
You believe in Jesus Christ, brother? Don't do it. Don't do it.
Then shoot me.
No, don't do it. I was in your shoes a few months ago, brother. It took everything in my body. Man, I'm 6'5", 300-pound paratrooper. Took everything in my world to call VA and to finally get the help. And I got the help. But I want to help you, man, because I'm tired of losing brothers and sisters. But I can't help you if you don't help me. Okay? The Lord sent me here to you today. He didn't send one of these other guys. He sent me as a vet to you to help you because I'm there. I've been there.
After nearly 11 minutes of having his gun leveled at the man, pleading with him, the tense standoff finally ends.
Just drop it. Just drop it. Okay, put your hands on your head for me.
At that moment, Richard Jones knew he had succeeded in saving the life of a veteran just like him, who was in a mental health crisis. The relief was overwhelming. After gathering himself best as he could, he went to the fellow vet and hugged him.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get you some help. We're going to start right now. I'm going to get you over here to Parkview, and we're going to get it taken care of, okay? Love you, bro.
Good job, man.
Were you prepared at any point to shoot him?
I was. I was prepared from the minute I left my vehicle and I approached that vehicle and he stood up with that gun. I will tell you that I'm thankful I was there that day. And I'm thankful I've had the experiences that I've had that brought me there that day. Because when I think about some of my younger officers, I don't know if we would have had the same outcome. We deal with a lot of these cases and we get a lot that have weapons with them. There's days that we're one after the other after the other.
Wow.
Dude,
right?
That's intense. And yeah. I know people listening to that are going to, you're going to play it out in your brain.
Yeah.
You don't have to see it on video.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you want to actually see it on video, go on YouTube, type it in, Pueblo Police and Veteran Crisis, and it'll pop up. It'll be one of the first things that you'll see. Very, very powerful. I mean, coming from a veteran myself, coming back home after going to war back in 2005, in Iraq. I mean, I felt it, you know, I felt both their pain because I know veterans that are in pain, personal friends that are in pain. I mean, all of us come back with something, you know, you can't tell me one combat veteran who's deployed, who doesn't come back with some sort of demons or whatever you want to call it. And if you say you're not, then you're full of shit. Cause
yeah, exactly.
That's the reality.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
there's guys that hide it.
Yeah.
There's guys that hide it really well.
Yeah.
I know a contractor friend of mine, like they hide it really well.
Yeah.
And I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Because you can go to a lot of different places like Project Sapient is going to have, we're going to have a lot of resources for these things.
Yeah.
I've gotten probably 15 emails and text messages and stuff from friends that I have this doctor. I have this doctor. Yeah. We're going to bring them on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're going to have them on our website as resources too.
Yep.
So guys, do not hesitate, guys and girls, do not hesitate. Reach out to us. We have resources. We can try and help you guys out. It's all going to be anonymous.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, veterans, we hide it really well.
Right.
It's because we've been taught to, trained to, and the stigma.
There's a stigma, yeah.
Of it in the veteran community, too, especially being a cop in a law enforcement community, which I think it's an even bigger stigma in the law enforcement community. And just as a whole, us veterans, we kind of, you know, the protectors and all that stuff that we are. The warriors that we are, you know, we're supposed to be these strong guys and gals.
Right.
You know, we doing the job, went to war, protecting, all that stuff. But in reality, when you come back and slow down, it's a different world. You know, I remember when I came home, I was in a culture shock again.
Right.
Leaving home, going to Iraq, culture shock, you know, just kind of, all right, I'm at war, holy shit. And then coming back home from that, culture shock.
Yeah.
Everyone in the goddamn U.S. is spoiled.
Right.
you know?
And you also grew up in a war time.
Oh,
in a war zone.
Yeah. You know, just
right.
All my friends out there, you know, my civilian friends were still partying, college thing, all that stuff. And I ended up, you know, moving away from all that. But the changes do happen. And a lot of veterans struggle as a result.
Well, let's make it perfectly fucking clear right now.
Yeah.
There is no stigma.
Yeah.
There is no judgment.
Yeah.
We will help.
Yeah.
There is help out there.
Yep.
We are going to help you as best as we can. We're going to point you in the right direction.
Yep.
And our emails are going to be up really soon, our individual emails.
Yep.
Believe me, there is nothing to be ashamed about. Call us, talk to us. We'll get you there.
I mean, you know, Corporal Jones, your voice and that pain you had, I felt it, brother.
Yeah,
I
man. Mean, oh, my God.
I felt it because, you know, when I first watched that video and I saw the outcome and I was glad, you know, veteran to veteran, we don't want to hurt each other.
Well, you didn't know which way it was going
to
go.
No, you had no idea. And I was waiting to see the positive outcome, which again, you know, as much as that false narrative of police shoot everybody, it does not happen.
Yeah, bullshit.
Does not happen. And that's the typical type of response that 99.9%
want
of the time. We get a majority of times.
Yep.
It takes us a while because we were just talking earlier before we actually started about crisis intervention training, and he was lucky, that veteran was lucky that he was encountered by a fellow veteran, combat veteran, and who's also a cop, and who's also, on top of that, trained in crisis intervention.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like that's his thing. He goes, teaches it, all that stuff. So he's one of those subject matter experts versus a rookie patrol guy goes and does an 8-hour, maybe, class on crisis intervention, and then you're thrusted out there dealing with a veteran, honestly, who's probably dealt with 10, 15 years of PTSD and finally hit a tipping point. So how are you going to take this 1-3 year police officer who has had that 8 hours of training their entire career so far and throw him against this combat veteran who's had 15 years of dealing with it?
And so let me just interject for a second, just for the rookie officers out there or any officers out there, not just the rookies. We're not pointing fingers at anybody.
Yeah.
Right. But for anybody out there that wants good crisis intervention training, we can help with that too.
Yeah.
We can help you get to the places. We're going to be offering it probably within the next year, but even before then, we can help you get to those places so that you can get the training to know. Maybe, you know, talk to your chiefs, talk to somebody and tell them, hey, you know what, maybe we should do some of these trainings. Yeah. Because what this guy went through, right, so from my perspective, I'm looking at it and I'm like, he's a veteran. He's dealing with another brother.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can tell in his voice, it gets elevated right away. The other guy's got the 1,000-yard stare going. We all know the 1,000-yard stare.
It's
right?
A bad day.
It's a bad day. It can go either way.
Yeah.
Right? So you're looking at it, his voice still raises. He's still, his heart rate's going through the roof, right? And it goes all the way to the end of the video, regardless of how much combat this guy's seen or how much bullshit he's had to deal with, he broke down at the end.
Yeah.
Cried.
Well, I mean, again, I'm getting goosebumps right now.
Yeah.
Just thinking about it, veteran to veteran, he cried at the end because of all that stress, elevation, fellow brother in need.
Yeah.
And he had a point in his life where he told the veteran that he himself had to go for help.
He said so many things to him, man. We've lost too many already.
Oh, yeah.
We've lost too many, and we all know there's a problem.
Yep. I mean, when that number, 22 a day, it's a problem.
He also personalized it.
Yeah.
You know, he could, you know, the don't do it to me.
Yeah.
That actually hit me really hard because don't do it to me, that pain. I know we talk about pain a lot.
Yeah.
But that pain was, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I can guarantee you when he's got, you know, FOTG and he's looking at this guy, he's playing it out in his brain and he's like, I'm going to have to fucking shoot this guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an extremely tough situation to be in anyways, just in terms of an emotionally disturbed person, EDP,
right,
as we call it in the Leo world or medical world. But it's one of the most stressful calls that as police officers that we deal with, because they are so unstable and can go either way that it needs more. Officers need a little more training than just the 8 hours that we get.
And people need to realize, right? And we're going to personalize it for a second. So my FTO, mm-hmm. nameless, mm-hmm. killed himself. And he was probably one of the best human beings I've ever met on this planet.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best human beings. Like, I loved this human being.
Yeah.
Right? And he showed no signs. There was nothing to say that, you know, why didn't he reach out? Why didn't he this? Why didn't he that? There was nothing.
Yeah.
And he killed himself.
Well, police are also the type that hide it really well.
Right, exactly.
You know, also.
So my reasoning behind telling that story is that you don't know what somebody's pain really is.
Yeah.
You're not in that person's. And I remember talking about it with, it's funny because long story short, my FTO, he actually went out injured my last 3 days. So I had a plug-in FTO, and we actually became really good friends. And I remember talking to him about it because it was stressful. We were all fucked up about it. And I remember talking to him, and he was like, Pete, you need to realize that, again, no name, whoever, let's call him John. John wasn't John. The things going on in his brain, the chemicals that were dumping in his brain, physiologically, he was different. It wasn't him, because I was pissed.
Yeah.
I was pissed. Like, I love this human being.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, I went to his wake, and, like, I'm sad saying it. I wanted to smack him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck did you just do?
Well, like what he said, don't do it to me,
don't
brother.
Don't do it to me. Right.
You know, don't do it to me.
It's a little selfish.
Yeah.
But at the end of the world, at the end of the day, it is what it is, right?
Well, it's like, not so much selfish. It's more as brother to brother. Like, don't put me in that position.
Right.
Where I have to shoot you or you shoot yourself.
Right.
You know, both of them are going to be bad for me because I am trained. Don't leave a, you know, like the military, one of the military models, you know, don't leave a fallen comrade. Don't leave anyone behind.
Yep.
Right. I mean, so that's huge right there. I mean, the connection that, I mean, I could, you know, it's amazing. I could go to nearly any bar post-corona or pre-corona. I could go to any bar.
Screw and, corona.
Yeah. And I would meet a veteran, random veteran, combat veteran, and man, we would be brothers in a heartbeat.
Immediately.
You know, and same thing in the law enforcement world where we're the same. We go to, you know, we'll go out and we'll meet each other and we'll be right away, you know, brothers in arms. And, but it's an amazing culture and brotherhood to be a part of, and sister, to be a part of that. Like you felt it in his voice. And he was genuine, you know, he knew that pain. And you can't replicate that. You can't replicate that sort of experience.
You can't fake it either.
No. That's why I agree with him that if other officers went, younger officers went, and who were non-veterans, the outcome may have been different. I agree with him on that one.
It very well may have.
Yeah.
It very well may have been different. Yeah. I mean, we're not quarterbacking this, guys. We're bringing it out to light.
Oh, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. If unfortunately, that veteran did end up pointing the firearm, a deadly force situation happens there. You know?
Oh, yeah. And we wouldn't blame anybody.
No. That's, you know, our job is also to protect life. And property and all that. And
your own life and the brothers and sisters around you.
Exactly. You know, he had other younger officers with him there, and there were civilians there. So there was a lot of potential victims also because as a suicidal male with a gun, you're not only suicidal, also homicidal.
Yes.
You know, you are both, you know, in a crisis situation, I view that person as both suicidal and homicidal because he wants that officer to shoot him, and he will do anything that he could to get shot by that officer.
Right.
So, and a younger officer, and unfortunately, it would have been a different outcome.
And again, it's not for every young officer out there, right?
Yeah,
it's not for all the rookies.
No.
We're not pointing fingers like, hey, look at us. We're the veterans on the job, exactly. Kid. Like, no.
I know rookie cops, newer cops who are combat veterans themselves, and they would do a phenomenal job just like that.
Sure.
You know, it's just like you said. I mean, I know Pete, you're not a veteran, and I am a veteran. Like my connection to that video was so strong because I just felt both their pain. You know, I felt it.
I got to tell you, I've worked with a lot of veterans. I've done stuff with a lot of veterans outside of law enforcement, and I felt it too. I felt it too, but I mean, obviously the major first and foremost connection was the law enforcement side of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I can only imagine how painful it would have been to be. I can't imagine. I shouldn't say I can only imagine. I can't imagine how painful it would have been.
Yeah.
Like that crying at the end.
Yeah.
Bothered me.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, it was tough to watch. I mean, it was a near tearjerker on my end because I felt that pain and that veteran, you know, I hope to God that he's still okay and getting the help he needs.
Let me make a statement.
Yeah.
I'm proud of this guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am 100% proud of this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because not to say that if he did pull the trigger, he would have been wrong. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But I am proud as to the amount of effort and gall and fortitude that he pulled out of himself.
Yeah. He was in a deep, dark place. he was at his breaking point.
Yeah.
You know?
And then to even sit there and admit, like, hey, brother, I went through the same shit a little while ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing, man. Yeah. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah. Corporal Richard Jones, Pueblo Police. Like, seriously, if anybody knows this guy, please have him reach out to us. We want to send him a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah. Or whatever his drink of choice is, or whatever he wants. Just give us a call. And, folks, this is our weekly roll call, and I hope you enjoy it. And we will talk to you soon. More coming like this. Again, send us comments, questions, whatever you need. We'll do it. See you guys.
All right, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.